Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Good afternoon and welcome to U Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here, wherever you may be joining me from, either here in the United States or in another country and around the world. A special hello to my friends in Costa Rica. We have a very exciting and informative show for you today. I think you'll really enjoy it. We're going to be talking about some very, very interesting topics. I want to remind you, if you want to call in, if you happen to be listening live and you'd like to call in, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. And you can also be sure to visit me at NatureDoc, or at facebook.com/NatureDoc. You can send me a friend request. And also you can follow me on Twitter at Blue Zone Wellness. And just like to remind you that we're here every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. That's every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. We also have the chat room open over on Blog Talk Radio. Just look under, we're actually listed there as Next Level Wellness, Next Level Wellness. Just go to Blog Talk Radio, look for Next Level Wellness, and search and you'll find us there. As I said before, we're going to be following our regular outline, where we start off by the Weekend Natural News Review, where we look at articles that came out during the week and we discuss and analyze them. We'll follow our outline, because after leaving there, we'll move on to our segment of our healing food segment. Today, we're going to revisit and give some more information with respect to watermelon. We've talked about watermelon in the past. Nevertheless, it's hot now, it's summer, people are eating a lot. I just want to talk to you about some of the health benefits, some of the amazing health benefits of watermelon. We want to make it eat copious amounts of it, especially in this heat. Not only that, you're going to be getting a very substantial benefit from eating it. And lastly, we'll also be looking at a couple of herbs in our healing supplement, healing herb segment at the end, which is our final segment. Again, thank you for listening. What we're going to do, I'm going to take a very, very quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to get started. Hang in there with me. We'll be back in just a moment.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work, or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Welcome back to U Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. This is a naturopath, and I work in naturopathy from a position of a Christian. There are many new age, I guess you could call it, and angles from which you can address naturopathic medicine or holistic medicine. And I practice naturopathic medicine from a Christian perspective. That's not to say that I only work with Christians, but I get people to understand that that's the perspective that we work from whenever we have a case. Because all holistic medicine is going to include the spiritual, the physical, the emotional, etc. And the spiritual part that most naturopaths use can range anything from Christianity to Middle Eastern or Far Eastern religions. And so I choose to practice naturopathic medicine from a Christian perspective. Basically all of naturopathic medicine or holistic medicine will indeed include a spiritual element. And so with that said, you've heard me talk on here before. If you have listened to the show in the past, we talk about the laws of health. If you've read my book, The Biblical Foundations of Wellness, you'll know that in that book I go over those 8 laws of health and I address them from a scientific perspective. I show how they were all extracted from the Bible, and yet they have scientific validation. And you'll know that I said on here before, to prevent disease or to heal disease, a scientific application of those 8 laws of health, all found in the book of Genesis, they can't be improved upon. And so when we talk about those laws of health, we talk about sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, self-control, and the most important one of all is actually trusting the Creator. And so we're going to go ahead and get started here in our first segment, which is the Week in Natural News Review segment, and wherein we look at a few articles that have come out during the week dealing with from natural health sites, or even some sites that are not natural health specifically, but they may have published some valuable research that deals with natural health, or sometimes things that are just important that we need to know from new study that has come out. And so this week, the first article we're going to deal with, and before we do that, I'd just like to remind you, we also over at Blog Talk Radio, we are up on the chat room. We have the chat room up. If you don't want to call in, you can make a statement in there. I'd rather ask a question or make a statement in there. Or you can call in at 917-889-2207. That's, again, if you're listening live. If you're listening to a on-demand or archived version of this, of course, we won't be available live or on chat. So the first article we're going to deal with is an article that we pulled from wellnessresources.com, and it's by Byron J. Richards. It came out on Tuesday of this past week, and it was entitled, Cell Phone Use May Damage Salivary Glands. And in this particular article, Mr. Richards, who is a board-certified clinical nutritionist, says the radio frequency electromagnetic fields generated by the cell phones are actually, or potentially rather, problematic to human health. He points out how, especially when these phones are held in close proximity to the head for extended periods of time. And then he cites a new study, that has documented significant free radical damage in the saliva of regular cell phone users, along with impaired function of the salivary glands. He says that this research used 20 individuals with 8 to 15 years of cell phone use, averaging about 30 hours per month each. That's about an hour a day on their cell phones compared to a control group. He said that since these cell phones are held in close proximity to the salivary gland, when a person is speaking into them, the researchers analyzed saliva to determine potential problems. And he points out in these studies they found rather dramatic adverse changes. He says the flow of the saliva was significantly reduced, as well as the amount of salivary amylase enzymes, and these are needed for carbohydrate digestion. He went on to point out in his article that multiple markers of free radical damage were detected in the cell phone users. Again, these were people who had been about 20 people, individuals who had a background of from 8 to 15 years of cell phone use, averaging about 30 hours per month, or on average an hour per day. He says, in this article, he actually quotes one of the researchers. He says, quote, this suggests that there is considerable oxidative stress on the tissue and glands which are close to the cell phone when in use, from Dr. Yaniv Hamzani of Tel Aviv University. He says that the researchers were especially concerned that such damage sets the stage for cancer. He says, while cancer may be the long-term risk, the short-term risk involves dental as well as digestive health, as saliva contains germ-killing property. He went on to say in his article that a reduction in salivary flow along with damage to saliva would actually impair the immune system and the mouth and even throughout our digestive tract. And he said, while most of the individuals in this study were on the phone 30 hours a month, the study found such damage occurring at 8 hours per month of cell phone use. He says, obviously the use of hands-free system or using a microphone would reduce the close contact with the salivary glands. And so he also pointed out that it is worth noting that iodine is highly taken up by our salivary glands, where it acts as a fundamental antioxidant as well as forming iodine compounds that kill germs. He goes on to say that using 1 in 3 drops of iodine in water and using it as a mouth rinse can actually help promote salivary gland health, better dental hygiene, and better digestion. Now, these reports of cell phone damage to the brain have been coming out for years, at least 10 years that I can think of. It was about 10 years ago that I actually heard the first, read the first article that pointed out cell phone damage to the brain as a result of people holding their cell phones at their ear for long amounts of time. And of course, this may be one of the reasons that they've come out with these other devices that help prevent holding the cell phone up to the ear. Now there's more information coming out pointing out how the cell phones can actually, because of the proximity to which they're held to the mouth, can actually affect our salivary glands as well. So again, this is a very interesting article. Again, it's pulled from wellnessresources.com. And if you happen to be listening live, I am putting the link right now in the box in the chat room, so you can read that article for yourself if you would like. Again, it's from Byron J. Richards, who is a board certified clinical nutritionist. And interesting website, interesting article. Now we're going to move on to our next article, and this one is taken from naturalnews.com. It's entitled "The Best Vitamins That Aid in Weight Loss," and the author of this article goes on to point out how he basically had read a study from Dr. Pamela W. Smith of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Physicians, and she talked about how some vitamins and minerals are more crucial in weight loss than are others. Again, the name of this article is "The Best Vitamins That Aid in Weight Loss." The author goes on to point out how vitamin B, choline, and chromium are some of the vitamins that Dr. Smith recommends to people who are trying to lose weight. So again, if you're interested in losing weight, three vitamins pointed out by Dr. Pamela W. Smith of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Physicians are vitamin B, choline, and chromium. Now, we have talked about the B vitamins on this show before. We've talked about chromium. We've talked about many, many different vitamins and minerals and how they play into our total health. And so as a result of this, we want to look a little bit at some of the things that this article says and how these vitamins may help if you're trying to lose weight or if you're trying to maintain weight, but especially if you're trying to lose weight, how some of the things pointed out by the doctor here, by the author of this article, in citing the doctor, may help us. First, the article addresses vitamin B, and it points out how one of the best vitamins for weight loss is actually vitamin B, because vitamin B is a group of 11 vitamins, or B complex vitamins, as you've heard me talk about on this show before. You talk about how some of the B vitamins that aid in weight loss are B6, B5, B2, and how vitamin B6 helps the pancreas produce enzymes that actually aid in digestion. And because proper digestion will actually make one feel full longer, thus resulting in weight loss. Vitamin B5, the article points out, also aids in digestion and helps break down fats and carbohydrates, thus giving more energy and boosting one's metabolism, which also helps in weight loss. And finally, the article goes on to point out that vitamin B2 aids in weight loss by releasing the unused energy in the body and preventing unused energy from turning into fat. And some of the best sources of vitamin B, of course, as the article points out, and I wholeheartedly agree with these, are bananas, potatoes, whole grains, beans, lentils, and chili or cayenne peppers. So again, those, some of your best sources of vitamin B, again, are bananas, potatoes, whole grains, beans, lentils, and chili peppers. Now, also the article goes on to point out choline, which is another B vitamin that aids in weight loss. And it is this particular nutrient is what's called a fat emulsifier, and that works with the nutrient inositol, which we talked about already. And choline and inositol are used cholesterol in the fats in the body to help prevent weight gain and also to promote weight loss. Without choline, the excess fats that are digested get trapped. They get trapped in your liver, and they actually block fat metabolism, which actually leads to weight gain. Some of the foods that contain choline are peanuts, cucumbers, cauliflower, wheat germ, etc. There are a couple of more, but those are basically some of the vegan or vegetarian, mainly vegan foods that are plant-based foods that are good for you. Foods that contain choline should be included in your daily meal, and as the article points out. And finally, it mentions chromium, and you've heard me mention chromium as well. The article mentions chromium, and you've heard me mention chromium as well with respect to being very, very effective when you're trying to treat diabetes. The article goes on to point out how chromium is a trace mineral found in cereals and grains. It aids in weight loss by helping helping the body break down fats as well as carbohydrates. Chromium also provides an energy boost that is useful for your workouts. If you're a person that works out, and if you have diabetes, you need to be exercising, just as a passing note. Without chromium, the body finds it difficult to burn off excess fats and turn them into energy. And as a result, the excess fat is restored in your body and you tend to gain weight. So we should be exercising anyway, even if we're not diabetics, and because chromium gives us an energy boost that helps us feel like exercising more and gives us more energy to exercise longer and more intensely and thereby burn off more calories, fat, etc. Again, an interesting article that was called The Best Vitamins That Aid in Weight Loss, and that was found at naturalnews.com. Now we're going to talk about the one herb, which is the main issue of today's show, that could make at least 14 pharmaceutical drugs utterly obsolete. Now, this may seem like a very sensational statement, but the reality is it's not a sensational statement. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. Again, you're listening to You Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. And you can call in if you would like to do so at 917-889-2207. If you're listening live, I know we know that a lot of people listen to our show, listen to the archives, thousands even. A lot of people can't catch the show live. We realize that. But if you are listening live and you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. Now, this next article we're going to be talking about here is one herb that could make at least 14 pharmaceutical drugs utterly obsolete. And this is not something that we've not talked about before. You've heard me talk about this particular herb or nutrient on numerous occasions on this show. And we're going to talk about why I say and why this article points out why it could make at least 14 pharmaceutical drugs utterly obsolete. This article is found at both naturalnews.com as well as at greenmedinfo.com. It actually originated at greenmedinfo.com. Now, this is turmeric or curcumin. You've heard me talk about how efficient it is for inflammation in the body and how inflammation is a marker or is the early signs or is the warning indicators that you are going to develop some disease of some sort, some chronic disease of some sort. And we're going to look at a few of these drugs that can actually be replaced by curcumin or turmeric. According to this, we'll take the one from naturalnews.com. And again, the original article is at greenmedinfo.com. And he's compiled some very, very valuable information with respect to this drug, as compared to this herb. First, he deals with statin drugs for cholesterol, and he points out how popular cholesterol drugs like Lipitor and Crestor are completely unnecessary when taking standardized doses of curcumin, which are extracted from turmeric. You heard me say before that curcumin is actually extracted, they're believed to be the effective or the agent within turmeric that you get the most benefit. Now, and he's arguing here that if you're taking standardized doses of curcumin extracted from turmeric, according to a 2008 study published in the Journal Drugs in R&D, researchers found that patients with endothelial dysfunction, in other words, the underlying blood vessel pathology that leads to atherosclerosis, they found that turmeric extract worked at least as good as the drugs at reducing inflammation and relieving oxidative stress in type 2 diabetics. So here they use standardized doses of curcumin or turmeric and the curcumoids, which is extracted from the turmeric. And in this particular study, this particular 2008 study, they found that for cholesterol, turmeric or curcumin work when you take it in standardized doses just as well. They say at least as good as the drugs, Lipitor and Crestor, at reducing inflammation and relieving oxidative stress. And dealing with endothelial dysfunction as well as stress and type 2 diabetes. Secondly, he points out how corticosteroid drugs, he deals with corticosteroid drugs. He says millions of people receive steroid injections every year to treat the inflammation associated with conditions like arthritis and even with cancer. Again, inflammation are the forerunners of these diseases. But he points out in his study, in his article rather, there was a 1999 study that was published in the Journal of Phytotherapy Research, and it found that turmeric's primary antioxidant, again curcumin, works just as well as steroid medications in the treatment of inflammatory eye disease. Several other studies, he points out, released in the years following this study that was done in 1999, found similar benefits for other inflammatory diseases that are commonly treated with steroids. So again, these curcumoids and turmeric, taken from turmeric, able to be used in relieving the oxidative stress of diabetics in type 2 diabetes. It's also been found to work very, 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 very effectively for those who are on cholesterol drugs. Now you're seeing it being able to work in this 1999 study as well as other studies, curcumin are being able to work as well in diseases with those who have issues or have diseases with the underlying inflammation, and they're having to take these steroid drugs. And how you can have it can potentially be replaced in certain instances with turmeric. Next, he deals with antidepressants, and he points out how besides their copious side effects, antidepressant drugs like Prozac and Paxil are extremely risky. He goes on to point out how they can actually make depression symptoms worse for some, as we've talked about on here before. He goes on to say that turmeric has been shown to effectively reduce depressive behavior to the same extent or even better than these dangerous drugs. Then he points out how turmeric can replace blood thinners in some instances. He points out how people at high risk of heart attack or stroke or who require blood thinning drugs to avoid these as well as other cardiovascular events may simply be able to take turmeric instead. He points to a study, a 1986 study that was published in a German journal of medicine. I'm not going to pronounce the name . But anyway, this 1986 study published in this German journal, medical journal, it found that curcumin has similar antiplatelet and prostacyclin modulating effects as does aspirin, and which is the blood thinning drug of choice for many conventional doctors. So in short, they found in this German study that curcumin or turmeric works in a similar fashion to thin the blood as does aspirin. So think about if you would make a combination of curcumin with the natural aspirin, willow bark. You may very well be able to get the same, if not, I suspect you could get a better mix or better result rather than you would if you were to take just curcumin alone for blood thinning effects. Finally, this particular article also points out the potential anti-inflammatory effect of curcumin on the body and how it could actually go on to replace anti-inflammatory drugs. He says that aspirin, of course, as I just pointed out, is commonly prescribed for other inflammatory conditions, as is ibuprofen. But a number as well, and there are other pain pills as well that are prescribed for inflammatory conditions, because it's typically the inflammation that is actually causing the pain. And so when you can deal with the underlying inflammation, usually you're going to not have to worry about the pain any longer. Anyway, he goes on to point out that when you're dealing with turmeric and anti-inflammatory, or trying to replace anti-inflammatory drugs, turmeric was shown in a 2004 study that was published in the journal Oncogene to exert similar anti-inflammatory and anti-proliferative activity, particularly against cancer cells, and it worked just as well as these drugs, again, without having to worry about the side effects. Finally, he cites how curcumin or turmeric may very well be used to replace chemotherapy drugs. He points out how the cancer industry, would have us believe that chemotherapy drugs are one of the few methods we have at our disposal to treat cancer. But he points to a 2007 study published in the International Journal of Cancer, which found that curcumin works just as well as the particular drug that is used at treating colorectal cancer. So, and the reason that would be is because, as I said earlier, that curcumin is very, very efficient at treating or dealing with inflammation, which is the precursor to a number, if not maybe a majority, of chronic illnesses and diseases. And if we can deal with the underlying cause of the disease, then, of course, we can deal with the disease itself. Next, he points out how it can replace diabetes drugs. He says not only is turmeric a viable contender in treating diabetes, he goes on to say a 2009 study published in the Journal of Biochemistry and Biophysical Research Community found that it works up to 100,000 times better than the popular diabetes drug metformin at increasing glucose uptake. And he goes on to point out how turmeric also helps suppress glucose production in the liver, at least as well as the most popular diabetes drugs on the market today. Now, it's interesting that he would point it out because, as he said in this particular study, this 2009 study, which he cites here, that was published in the biochemistry, in the Journal of Biochemistry and Biophysical Research Community, and wherein they cited that turmeric works up to 100,000 times better than the popular diabetes drug metformin. I see a lot of diabetics in my practice who are already on metformin. Their primary care physicians have put them on metformin, and they've been on it, many of them, for years with the accompanying side effects. We won't go into the side effects of metformin here at this time, but why waste the time and money? And when I say the time and the money, not just the initial money that's associated with having to pay for it, even if it's through your insurance, but the long-term expense of the side effects, which we eventually, in most cases, develop to some other disease. You're listening to Use On Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're still in our first segment, but we're about to pivot over to our second segment, which is the healing food segment. And as I said earlier in the introduction, we're going to be talking about watermelon and some of the scientific research behind how effective it is and how good it is for your body. We've talked about it here before, but sometimes we revisit these issues because new information comes out. Or typically when I talk about it, I don't always address each and every benefit of a particular food. Sometimes because of the lack of time, we could do a whole show, in many cases, on just one food. So I like to give it, so we can cover the whole gamut of foods. I like to give you some on a food at certain times, and then I like to come back and give you more at other times so we can deal with other foods. Also, sometimes new information will come out on these foods, and as it does, I will revisit these foods. So, but we'll go over right now, and we'll look a little bit at some of the nutritional benefits of watermelon that you may not have been aware of. In fact, just this month, research was published in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry, which found watermelon juice is a very effective remedy for reducing the recovery heart rate and muscle soreness in athletes who were given 500 milliliters of watermelon juice, or that's equivalent to about 2 cups, 2 8-ounce glasses. It's roughly about 16.9 ounces, which can contain about 1.17 grams of the naturally occurring amino acid L-citrulline. And they found that when they gave these athletes this amount of watermelon containing this amino acid L-citrulline naturally, that it was very, very effective in reducing the recovery heart rate as well as muscle soreness in these athletes. And this is new research that was just published again this month in the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry. So again, if you're an athlete, you like to work out, watermelon juice is very, very beneficial for you. Now let's look at some of the other things that watermelon can do for you. It can actually boost your antioxidant levels, because watermelon is exceptionally rich in lycopene. Therefore, this is where it gets its red color from. And not only is it rich in lycopene, but it also has other carotenoids such as lutein and beta-carotene. In fact, there was a 2003 study that was published in the Journal of Nutrition which found that regular watermelon juice consumption resulted in significant increases in blood plasma concentrations of lycopene and beta-carotene. Again, that means it's also good for your eyes, beta-carotene, lycopene, that's good for men, especially for prostate health. So again, here you have one of those foods that are in harmony with the colors of the rainbow that our Creator has given us, that is just packed full of nutrients. And this is why Hippocrates said, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. Interesting food that we're talking about here. Now, we have to also keep in mind that lycopene has been found to have over 40 potential health benefits itself, just lycopene alone. We're not even talking about the beta-carotene. Beta-carotene, especially in its natural food complex form, has just as many health benefits as lycopene does. By adding extra significance to this finding, that means when we take lycopene and you take beta-carotene and you take L-citrulline, all of this the Creator has packed in watermelon. Not only that, it tastes good. And so also the watermelon-induced increase in plasma antioxidant levels may lend explanation to why in an epidemiology study of the Chinese, they found greater watermelon intake to be associated with lower risk of cancer. I would think that it was probably has to do more than just the antioxidant levels. But when the Creator puts all of these things in any fruit or food, they all work synergistically. So even though the Chinese decided that, in one of the epidemiological studies, like I just said, that they thought that the reason it helps decrease cancer rates is because of its plasma antioxidant levels, I would say that not only is that the reason, but it's also a combination of that, those antioxidant levels, as well as everything that the Creator has packed into this food. Now, let's look at something else that watermelon can do for us. Watermelon is also good at reducing your blood pressure and improving arterial health. In fact, there was a 2012 study that was published in the American Journal of Hypertension, and that found that middle-aged obese people with hypertension or stage 1 hypertension who were given 6 weeks of treatment with a watermelon extract containing 6 grams or 6,000 milligrams of L-citrulline, again, that's amino acid that I spoke about earlier, as well as L-arginine daily. Again, that's two amino acids, L-citrulline and L-arginine. When they were given 6,000 milligrams of these daily in an extract containing of watermelon juice, they experienced reduced ankle blood pressure and altered carotid wave reflection, which is an indication of improved arterial function. Not only that, the inability of the blood vessels to dilate and function properly is known as endothelial dysfunction and is likely the most well-known initiating step in the pathogenesis or diagnosis or the basic formation of arteriosclerosis or disease of the arteries. But watermelon has been found to actually help reverse this process even before it gets started. And so, again, when you look at watermelon from this angle, it also shows how it can also be used rather in lowering and having a cholesterol lowering effect along the lines that people take statin drug for. And we talked about that a little bit previously in this show in dealing with another a natural remedy. Again, we won't. I'll take out a couple of other things that watermelon can do. For instance, there was a 2007 study that was published in the Journal of Nutrition, and There was a preclinical study published in the Journal of Nutrition in 2007 that found that watermelon pomace, which is a rich source again of L-citrulline, significantly improved metabolic syndrome in diabetic overweight rats. And again, this is a preclinical study. Now, this study is of a particular interest because it lends support to relative new research showing that fruit consumption is not actually harmful for type 2 diabetics. Now, how many times have you heard doctors say if you're a diabetic, sweet fruit or fruit in general, you should not eat fruit, et cetera, et cetera. But new studies are beginning to come out that shows that not all has been said with respect to this. It might be necessary to be true. And again, as you've heard me say on here before, if you follow the laws of health, if you eat foods that are in harmony with the colors of the rainbow, you really can improve upon what the Creator has given us. And so back to this particular study here, it's a preclinical study. The study results were described as follows by one of the doctors. Quote, "These results provide the first evidence to our knowledge for a beneficial effect of watermelon pomace juice as a functional food for increasing arginine availability." Arginine, again, is a amino acid. Reducing, and it goes on to say, increasing arginine availability, reducing serum concentrations of cardiovascular risk factors, improving glycemic control, and ameliorating vascular dysfunction in obese animals with type 2 diabetes. And as it is a preclinical study, it would be necessary to do more clinical studies on it to basically affirm or confirm those findings. Interestingly enough, it's interesting to know that watermelon seeds are also a very rich source of protein. And in fact, there was a 2011 study published in the Journal of Cancer Research and Clinical Oncology, which found that, quote, "The good nutritional and functional properties of watermelon seed meal protein suggest their potential use in food formulations." And so this was a 2011 study published in the Journal of Cancer Research and Clinical Oncology, and they were noting how watermelon seeds are very, very high, or they are a rich source of protein. And so, again, we're in the summer months, and it's very, very hot, and so eating watermelon is a very, very, very beneficial food as we talk about our healing food for today. And I would highly suggest that when you're eating it, that you eat copious amounts and just enjoy the food that you're eating, because the Creator has made your medicine your food and your food your medicine. You're listening to U-Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'm going to take one last quick break here before we enter into our final segment, which is the healing herb, healing supplement segment, where we're going to be discussing a little more about ginseng, and we're going to talk a little bit about milk thistle. We've talked about milk thistle before. We might have talked about ginseng a little bit in the past, but again, new information comes out. Again, I don't always give all the information on each herb that I may talk about or supplement that I talk about. Many times I give maybe talking about how to use it for a specific ailment, and may not go into all of the ailments that you can use it for. And so, again, I'm going to take another quick break here. And if you're listening, you'd like to call in, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. We'll be back in just a second to begin our final segment.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Welcome back to Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening. This is our final segment. I'd like to remind you that we're here Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. Most of the time we're here live. In the event that I'm not here live, we typically will have a rebroadcast schedule to play. And just remind you, you can listen anytime during the week or anytime that you would like, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to Blog Talk Radio and you can find us on at Blog Talk Radio. We're actually under Next Level Wellness. You can find us there. You have all of our broadcasts that we've ever done on Blog Talk Radio. We have a few of our broadcasts that we've done at the Big 810 AM Orlando uploaded there as well. You can download it. You can listen to it. You can put it on CD. You can share it with your friends, etc. You can send the link around to your friends and family members if you would like to do so. And this is, again, our final segment, and we're going to be looking at a couple of herbs, as I said before we went to break. This is the segment that we did with a healing supplement or a healing herb, hence the name healing herb, healing supplement segment. We'll start off by looking a little bit more at milk thistle. Now, you've heard me talk about milk thistle before, and it is one of the most important herbs that you can take for your liver health. And not only is milk thistle beneficial for the liver, but it's also to a degree beneficial for your kidney as well as your gallbladder. And although it's native to the Mediterranean region, it is now found in almost all the parts of the world. And it's actually has been, I've used it personally and for my own personal health, just for liver, just to keep my liver detoxed at times. And over in Europe, it's often used for those people who have, even in emergency rooms, that have overdosed. Many times it's used to help detoxify the liver from particular drugs. Research has long ago demonstrated how valuable milk thistle is. And it's most, what researchers found, what they believe to be its most significant flavonoid. And it's called silymarin, and it can and it's very, very beneficial to the human liver. In fact, back in about 1986, milk thistle was approved for treating liver diseases. It is now commonly employed in cases related to even alcoholic hepatitis, and even alcoholic fatty liver, even cirrhosis and liver poisoning, or even viral hepatitis. In fact, it's also been shown to protect the liver from toxins created by medications such as Tylenol, as well as other non-aspirin pain suppressors. Now, again, this is not a license to drink alcohol and then take milk thistle to protect the liver from it. It doesn't work that way. Right? Not only is alcohol a very potent poison to the liver cells, but it's a very potent poison to all of your cells. And so if you want optimal health, the thing is to remove everything that's injurious to the body. Then you begin to rebuild the body. After you remove that which is injurious, you detoxify, and then you have to begin to rebuild the body with nutrients and good health, good foods, et cetera. Now, but another interesting thing about milk thistle is that the active ingredient in it, silymarin, helps repair liver cell damage, even from alcohol, and even from drug medications that you may have undergone or endured. And the way that it does that is that it actually increases the protein synthesis of the liver in the liver. And at least five studies reported by the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, tests have actually shown that it was possible to greatly improve liver function in patients who were suffering from even milder forms of alcoholic liver diseases. Unfortunately, it wasn't as effective with those afflicted with more serious conditions, such as in the cases of cirrhosis. But here's the thing. When you're dealing with these particular diseases, as a serious disease such as cirrhosis of the liver, milk thistle, in my opinion, would only be one a nutrient or one herb that I would use in such a case. When you're dealing with serious diseases like that, you typically have to have, almost always, you would need to have an entire system, a systematic approach to it. By the time the liver has been abused to the point of cirrhosis, there are other things involved. It's not just the liver alone. Typically, you're going to have to deal with the entire body. This is the purpose of holistic medicine. And so, I don't know in this particular study, I don't know if they were just giving milk thistle, or if they were just as without addressing these people with an entire protocol to help take the burden off of the liver, to also help the milk thistle function more appropriately in the body and more effectively in the body. Now, milk thistle has actually often been used in the past to contain chemotherapy-associated hepatotoxicity. But with clinical research, recent research actually, it has been found to be even more effective. In fact, there was a study where a total of 50 children suffering from acute lymphoblastic leukemia and they were randomly given either milk thistle or a simple placebo to evaluate their liver's response. And on average, the milk thistle led towards lower toxicity levels within the children's livers while not disturbing the chemotherapy agents in the process. So here in this particular study, it was found that they were giving these children chemotherapy for basically blood cancer, which is what leukemia is. And it seemed that the lymph system was also involved in this cancer, which typically cancer involves the entire body because it gets into the blood. Nevertheless, in these particular cases here, even though they were being given this poisonous substance called chemotherapy, the damage to their livers, to the children being given the milk thistle, was less than the children who were being given the placebo, and which indicated that even in giving this poisonous drug to the children, by the same time taking the milk thistle, it cut back on the damage to the liver while not reducing the quote effectiveness, the so-called effectiveness of the chemotherapy. And this is what this particular study pointed out. Let me see if I can see what else the study found here. It says that on average, the milk thistle led towards lower toxicity levels in the children's livers while not disturbing the chemotherapy agents in the process. And they went on to say, of course, that more tests are needed in order to identify the most reliable doses as well as the preferable length of treatments. And also that some initial laboratory results make researchers believe that milk thistle flavonoids may also have anti-cancer potential. So in other words, these researchers have looked at milk thistle and they've looked at some of the powerful flavonoids that are contained in this herb. They believe that it also has anti-cancer potential. Well, I would say that anything that benefits the liver would almost automatically have anti-cancer potential, because anytime you have cancer, the liver is going to play a very, very, very important role, because this is the body's chief detoxification agent. The researchers are beginning to look more and more into the herb, I guess, as being a specific as opposed to working indirectly. And again, the main agent within milk thistle, silymarin, with its strong antioxidant properties, has demonstrated to researchers that it has the ability to restrain the growth of the human prostate, also cervical and breast cancer cells. So even here you say, when you look at it, no doubt the reason it has the ability to restrict the growth of these cells is because it helps reduce inflammation, or rather it helps reduce toxicity. When you reduce toxicity, you're going to reduce inflammation, and therefore you're going to have a beneficial effect on the cells of the tissues. And lastly, just this last little bit in looking at milk thistle, there was a study conducted on animals, and it revealed that the active ingredient, what they believe is the major active ingredient for the liver, silymarin, was able to reduce in animals, was able to reduce bad cholesterol levels just as much as a drug called propofol, which is often prescribed to generate the same desired effects. So basically, again, it's been shown to be effective in cancer, shown to be effective in liver detoxification and liver health, shown to be effective in reducing the hepatitis caused by different areas. All of this is this one herb, milk thistle. It's now also been shown to be effective in reducing bad cholesterol or LDL levels, as just as effective as a drug called propofol. So here you have this one herb, and these are some of the things that it can do for the body. And as I said earlier, even though it's mainly used by natural practitioners, even by some doctors, to treat liver disease or to help treat, keep the liver up to health, it's also beneficial in gallbladder and kidney ailments as well, which is another story for another day. But I have talked about milk thistle more before on here, and you can go back and look through some of the archives if you care to do so, to get a little bit more information about milk thistle and how, at least how we've talked about it here on U-Zone Wellness. Again, like to remind you, you're listening to U-Zone Wellness. I'm broadcasting from the Orlando area, Orlando, Florida area. This is our last segment here in the show. We're in the segment that we call our Healing Herb, Healing Supplement segment. Now we're going to go into our last herb that we're going to be talking about today in this segment, and we're going to be talking about Siberian ginseng. And ginseng is a very, very popular herb. A lot of people are familiar with it because of its popularity. Probably more so back in the 60s and 70s, ginseng was actually the rage because of its benefits for getting energy and stamina and helping to prevent illness and also increasing libido. But as time went on, it kind of faded from the Western natural health awareness and consumer interest. But ginseng, in its history and its ability to instill energy and stamina and also to enhance the libido and longevity actually goes back for probably 4,000 years into Chinese medicine. But in recent time, ginseng is making somewhat of a comeback, and it's often labeled as Panax when you look at it, when you read about it in the trials. But it also indicates that it's also rather can be seen as, you will see it as Siberian ginseng, American ginseng, different types of ginseng. Now, according to most botanists, Siberian ginseng is in the same family as genus Panax. In other words, you will hear, again, when you see studies, it will be called Panax ginseng. But according to most botanists, Siberian ginseng is in the same family, but not of the same Panax genus. So basically, so we can keep it simple so as not to get confused, we're going to be mainly here talking about, and the one that I typically recommend in my practice is Siberian ginseng. And I've seen it work very, very well, very, very well. And there are some more expensive ginsengs, but Siberian ginseng works just as well. And it's actually, will be called, you would typically see it called Eleuthero root, Eleuthero root. And you can go to Faith Ministries, my blog there, the Simple Health Seekers blog, and I have an entire article that I've written on the ability, or the benefits rather, of Eleuthero root or Siberian ginseng. In fact, there was a long-term epidemiological Korean study that was published in a 2009 Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine. And it was set up to determine if there was an association with ginseng intake and mortality, or longevity. This study started in 1980. This Korean study actually started in 1985. It had 6,282 people, and they were all age 55 or older. Among them were male and female ginseng users as well as non-users. The study was completed at the end, again, of 2003, and all the statistical measures of this type of study were were used to rule out all of the irrelevant variables. The results showed a significant reduction in all causes of mortality, in other words, death from all sources. So in this particular study, they showed that taking ginseng can actually reduce the likelihood that you're going to die from some disease or abnormality. It was shown to cause a significant reduction, not just a reduced, but a significant one among males, but here's the kicker, not among females. However, females who use ginseng enjoyed a significant reduction in cancer-specific mortality. So for men, it was found to reduce death rates from all causes. For women, it was found to reduce death rates from cancer. Not only that, a Chinese study using mice was set up to determine the effects of Panax or ginseng polysaccharide, the PGP, on energy metabolism and mitochondrial protection. The mitochondrial area is the area in the nucleus of the cell that deals with the energy of each cell. And both of these mechanisms, especially the mitochondrial protection, actually promote anti-aging or longevity. This study with these mice trying to determine their energy, etc., and their longevity was published in 2009 in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine. The trial showed that the PGP inhibited mitochondrial injury. In other words, that the polysaccharides within the ginseng actually inhibit the mitochondrial injury and swelling. In other words, the area in the cell that's responsible for your energy. The cell here, or not the cell, but rather the ginseng actually prevented damage and swelling, and thereby helped you have more energy. And when dealing with the ATP and ADP, again, I'm moving a little fast here, but all of these things deal with, in a nutshell, they deal with the what we call the vital force of the cell, or the ability of the cell to produce energy and life. Because I've said, as you heard me say before, our cells is the basic element of life, because they make up the tissues. The tissues make up the organs, and the organ makes up the systems, and all of the systems make up the body. So we live or die on the cellular level. So here we saw in these couple of studies here how ginseng is even very, very beneficial for the mitochondrial area of the cell. This is probably the reason why it helps with energy. No doubt it is the reason why it helps with energy. Again, there have been other studies, and we're about out of time here, and as we talk a little bit, we've been talking a little bit here about ginseng. And there was another study which was more of a review and report from Boston University, which was published in an evidence-based complementary and alternative medicine back in 2009. They reported that although there is evidence of ginseng's ability to increase insulin production, decrease pancreas beta cell death, and reduce blood glucose in diabetic type 2 patients, not fully understanding the mechanics of how this happens, it precludes the standardization for practical medical applications for treating diabetes. So in other words, even though it was indicative in their studies that ginseng could actually do a lot to increase insulin production in diabetics, decrease pancreas beta cell death, and also reduce blood glucose in type 2 diabetics, they couldn't figure out the direct mechanism, and so they could make a standardized dosage, so they basically couldn't come to a full conclusion. Nevertheless, I think if you do a little bit more research, or even from a clinical perspective, us naturopaths and holistic practitioners, we think we could come up with a pretty good protocol to help diabetics, especially not just with ginseng, but also when bringing in other powerful herbs and nutrients to help with their blood sugar as well as correcting their diet. Again, there's a lot more that could be said about this. I was trying to rush a little bit here in the end. We're about out of time. I want to thank you for listening. I'd like to remind you to join me next week, same time, same place, from 4 to 5 p.m. You Zone Wellness at Blog Talk Radio. You can, if you join late, you should be able to listen to this broadcast within the next 10 or 15 minutes. The replay should be ready. It may even be ready before that time. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I would like to thank you for listening. And again, if you can join me, visit me at facebook.com/naturedoc. You can send me a friend request. You can visit the blog at faith3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog, to read and study. And you can again visit Blog Talk Radio to listen or re-listen to the episode. Until next week, God bless. And we'll see you around.